Welcome again to our studies in the Old Testament.
Pilujeng sumping dina pangajaran urang dina perjanjian lawas.
I hope you're learning some new things and enjoying it.
Ading harepkeun saderek diajar nu anyar sareng resep.
We have seen several key ideas coming out already.
Urang tos ningali sabeberapa mikiran kunci nu tos dibahas.
One is the matter of covenant.
Salah sahijina ngeunaan perjanjian.
Another is that of loyalty.
Sanesna kasatiaan
and identity,
sarta identitas,
and with that comes faith.
Lantaran kitu ayana iman.
We mentioned in the case of Ruth.
Urang nyebatna dina kasus Ruth.
That there were three keys to her character.
Yen aya tilu kunci dina karakterna.
Her identity.
Dina identitasna.
Her loyalty or chesed.
Kasatiaanana atanapi chesed.
And her faith.
Sareng imana.
You see, faith, which is leaning on God, trusting Him.
Sedek ningali iman anu nyarande ka Allah, percanten ka Allah.
How can you have faith on someone where there's no loyalty?
Kumaha sadarek tiasa ngagaduhan iman mun satia.
You see how it's all connected together.
Sedek terang kumaha aya hubunganna.
The same with the Rahab.
Sami sareng Rahab.
She made her identity with the people of God.
Anjeuna midamel identitasna sareng umat Allah.
That meant she came into the covenant.
Ya artina anjeuna lebet kana perjanjian.
She had loyalty, she had chesed.
Anjeuna gaduh kasatian, anjeuna gaduh kaset.
And then she was prepared to have faith and to really trust God.
Anjeuna siap ngagaduan iman sareng mercayakeun diri ka Allah.
And she put that faith into action.
Mewujudkeun imana dina kalakuan.
Now, this is the kind of thing we see in many of the leaders of Israel.
Ayeuna hal ieu urang terang dina para pamimpin Israel.
Some people who had every opportunity and yet they made a disaster of it.
Beberapa urang ngagaduhan waktu, najan kitu aranjeuna midamel huru-hara.
Other people who had very little advantage and yet they were successful in it.
Jalmi nu sanes ngagaduhan kauntungan najan kitu hasil tina iman.
It's not just the natural advantages we have where we start from.
Ye sanes ngan saukur kauntungan nu dipimiliku urang waktos urang ngawitan.
It's what we do with the opportunities we have.
Ye teh nu dipidamel ku urang dina kasempetan nu aya di urang.
Now, today we're going to look at a new development in the history of the people of God.
Urang bade ningali perkembangan anyar dina sajarah umat Allah.
When they came out of Egypt,
waktos anjeuna kaluar ti Mesir,
and at Mount Sinai,
sareng di Gunung Sinai,
and going into the Promised Land,
sareng lebet ka tanah perjanjian,
they were 12 tribes.
Anjeuna ti 12 suku.
Just joined together,
ngagabung sasarengan,
by their common loyalty to the covenant.
Kasatiaan sasarengan kana perjanjian.
They were not anything that we today would identify as a nation state.
Teu sapertos urang ayeuna tiasa nyeruakeun jadi warga negara.
But around them there were other nations.
Di saburuleun aranjeuna aya bangsa-bangsa sanes.
Ruled by kings.
Diparentah ku raja-raja.
And these nations were bringing military pressure against the Israelites.
Bangsa-bangsa ieu mawa tekanan militer nu abot ka urang Israel.
They were being led by a great man of God.
Aranjeuna dipimpin ku Allah nu hebat.
Samuel. But he was old.
Tapi anjeuna teu sepuh.
And his sons were not good men.
Sareng putra-putrana sanes jalmi leres.
And the Israelites looked around and there was no obvious person to take the place of Samuel.
Urang Israel ningali kasakurilingna teu aya jalmi anu tiasa ngagentina.
And instead of looking to God for an answer,
sareng neuteup ka Allah kanggo keung waleran,
they looked for a political answer.
Anjeuna milarian hiji waleran politik.
They said, now if we had a king,
aranjeuna nyarios upami abdi gaduh raja,
we'd be properly organized.
Baris gaduh organisasi nu sae.
And if we were organized, we could deal with our enemies.
Abdi diatur ngalawan musuh.
So they said to Samuel, ask God to give us a king so that we can be like the other nations.
Nyarios ka Samuel nyuhunkeun ka Allah supados masihan abdi sadaya saurang raja nu sami sareng bangsa-bangsa sana.
I thought the whole idea was that they were not to be like the other nations.
Abdi mah sadaya pamikiran teh teu sapertos bangsa-bangsa sanes.
But that's what they wanted.
Mung ieu teh nu dipikahoyongna.
And God said, all right.
Rasalah ngadawuh, heuk.
We'll choose someone.
Kami rek mareh hiji jalmi.
And he chose a man called Saul.
Katanya milih seorang pemegat nama Saul.
The story of Saul's life is a terrible tragedy.
Nan kehidupan Saul teh hiji tragedi anu pikaseuneu.
He started well, but he finished badly.
Nuhitan hade tapi tungtungawon.
And the key to his fall is his pride.
Tapi kunci tina ragragna nyaeta kasombongan.
When Saul was chosen,
waktu Saul dipilih,
and Samuel poured out the oil on his head,
Samuel ngistrenan anjeuna ku minyak,
which was a symbol of the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit.
Nu mangrupikeun lambang urapan Allah sareng Roh Suci.
Saul's attitude was very humble.
Sikap Saul handap asor.
In 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 21.
Dina hiji Samuel 8 ayat 21.
1 Samuel 9:21.
Hiji Samuel 8 ayat 21.
Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin."
Bangsa Saul abdi ti kaum Benyamin, kaum anu pangalitna di Israel, kaum Benyamin sadaya sanes jalmi penting. Naon maksad kasauran bapa bieu ka diri abdi?
Saul had the right idea.
Saul ngadageduhan gagasan ulares.
He said, "I cannot do this on my own."
Abdi teu tiasa midamel nyalira.
"I'm nobody."
Abdi sanes asaha.
And the Spirit of God came on Saul.
Roh lungsur kalebet Saul.
And God took him up and used him in a wonderful way.
Allah ngangkat sareng nganggo anjeuna luar biasa.
And Saul had one victory after another victory.
Saul milih keunggulan teras.
But do you remember what happened in the time of the judges for the Israelites?
Tapi emot saderek naon anu kajantenan di masa hakim-hakim.
Same thing happened to their king.
Anu same kajantenan ka bangsana.
His success made him feel confident in himself.
Suksesna ngajantenkeun anjeuna ngaraos percanten kana kamampuanana.
He began to think, "Look at what I've done."
Anjeuna ngawitan mikir tempo anu geus dilakukeun.
And in 1 Samuel chapter 15.
Sareng dina hiji Samuel 15.
Verse 12.
Ayat 12.
"So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, 'Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal.'"
Samuel suki-sukene angkat ke Saul. Aya nu ngawartosan. Yen Saul geus angkat ke kota Karmel, ngadegen tugu keur salirana di Karmel kebat ka Gilgal.
That was the beginning of Saul's great mistake.
Ite awal kasalahan nu ageung.
Instead of setting up a monument in honor of the Lord, he set up a monument for himself.
Ibatan anjeuna ngadegeun tugu keur pangeran, anjeuna ngadegeun tugu keur nyalira.
He started to brag.
Ngawitan sombong.
He was now the center of things.
Enten pusat ti sagala hal.
What a terrible mistake.
Ieu kasalahan nu pikaseuneun.
Well, then follows an act of disobedience.
Disarengan ku hiji tindakan teu taat.
Of course it follows.
Tangtu wae ieu bade dituturkeun.
When a person says, "I'm the center of things,"
urang nyarios abdi pusat sagala.
It's the same mistake as Adam and Eve.
Ieu kasalahan nu sami sareng Adam sareng Hawa.
It's the same mistake as at Babel.
Ieu kasalahan sami sapertos Babul.
Why should I do what God tells me to do? I'll do what I want.
Kedah midamel naon anu diparentakeun ku pangeran abdi bade midamel anu pikahoyong.
What happened to Saul?
Ieu mikajanten ka Saul.
Samuel came and spoke to him.
Kau sumping teras nyarios.
Verse 22.
Ayat 22.
"So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'"
Walur Samuel, "Na pangeran telangkung gegel kana kurban sarang sasajen tibatan kana kagumatian, tumut kana timbalan nana langkung utami tibatan ngaturken domba anu sae."
Samuel understood that the center of the sacrifices that were to be offered to God was not just the offering of the animals, it was symbolical of a relationship.
Mengartos pusat pengorbanan anu dikorbankeun ka Allah sanesa ukur ngorbankeun sasatoan, ieu lambang tina hubungan.
Samuel said, God's interested in your heart, not in your ceremonies.
Samuel nyarios, Allah katarik ku hate saderek sanes ku upacarana.
Verse
23. Ayat 23.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king.
Bahkamantena sami sareng nyieun sihir ngalawan kamantena sami sareng awon sareng nyembah ka berhala sabab hidep bahkatimbalanana hidep kakumantena digulingkeun tina jadi raja.
Already during the reign of King Saul,
salami pamarentahan Raja Saul,
a young man was coming into prominence.
Seorang pemuda anu kasohor.
His name was David.
Namana Daud.
The future lay with David and David's generation.
Masa depan aya di Daud sareng turunanana.
And the story of Saul is that he became alienated from two people.
Cerita Saul nyaeta ngajauhkeun diri ti dua jalmi.
He became alienated from Samuel.
Ngajauhan Samuel.
And he became alienated from David.
Ajauhan Daud.
He became alienated also from God.
Ajauhan Allah.
He became isolated.
Jantan dikucilkan.
He became the center of his own universe.
Anjuna jantan pusat alam nanyalira.
And in the end, faced with a challenge from the Philistine army.
Ayana waktos mayuran panangkang urang Filistin.
He went to inquire of God.
Anjeunna naroskeun Allah.
But Saul was not trying to say, I'm repenting, I need God.
Tapi Saul teu nyaros tobat, ngabutuhkeun Allah.
He was saying, I'm in a problem and I want God to fix it for me, to get me out of this.
Anjeunna nyaros abdi nuju mayunan masalah hoyong Allah nyarenganana.
God did not reply.
Allah teu ngawaler.
Because God knew that Saul was just trying to manipulate him.
Lantaran Allah uninga, Saul nipu Allah.
And when there was no reply from God,
Allah,
Saul went to a witch.
Saul angkat ke tukang ramal.
Went into the occult.
Karena kawasa poek.
Because he was not really interested in righteousness and in God.
Anjeunna teu katarik ku bebeneran sareng Allah.
He just wanted to use God.
And hoyong ngamangpaatkeun Allah.
And you will find there are people like that.
Derek baris mendakan jalmi sapros kitu.
They want to use the Christian community for themselves.
Nuhoyong nganggo komunitas Kristen kanggo dirina.
They want God for just what they can get out of God.
Ranjeuna miharep Allah sabatas naon nu kenging ti Allah.
And if they don't get what they want immediately from God, they'll go to the devil.
Upami teu nampi naon nu dipikayong na ti Allah, ranjeuna baris ka iblis.
With these people, it is as it was with Saul.
Ia seperti Saul.
His end was a tragic death.
Nukala manana maut tragis.
The young man, David,
pemuda Daud,
came from a rather small family too in the tribe of Judah.
Asana ti keluarga alit ti suku Yehuda.
When God knew that Saul was going in the wrong direction,
waktos Allah terang Saul ngajug-jug.
He said to Samuel, now you go and fill your horn with oil and anoint this young boy David.
Mantena ngadawu ka Samuel jung geura indit eusian tanduk ku minyak urapan budak ngora Daud.
And God blessed David.
Allah ngaberkahan Daud.
First as a young boy facing the Philistine giant Goliath.
Seorang budak ngora nu mayunan raksasa Filistin Goliath.
Then as a soldier in the army of King Saul.
Dan seorang prajurit di angkatan bersenjata Raja Saul.
Then as Saul grew jealous of David.
Waktu Saul sirik ke Daud.
He tried to kill David.
Anjeunna nyoba mayan Daud.
David had to run for his life.
Daud lumpat nyalametkeun nyawana.
And around him There came a group of men whose loyalty was only to David.
Isabudureunana aya sakelompok anu satia ka Daud.
When King Saul died,
waktu Saul maut,
David became a king.
Daud janten raja.
But not of Israel.
Tapi sanes di Israel.
Only a king of his own tribe, Judah.
Raja di suku nanyalira Yehuda.
His capital was in Hebron in the south.
Ibu kotana Hebron di kidul.
He reigned there for 7 years.
Marentah salami 7 tahun.
After 7 years,
Taparantos 7 tahun,
the elders of the other tribes of Israel,
seputi suku Israel sanesna,
came to David and asked him to be king of the whole nation.
Nepangan ka Daud nyuhunkeun supados janten raja di sadaya suku.
Then he thought, now where do I have my capital?
Anjeunna mikir, ayeuna di mana ibu kotana?
If I stay in Hebron, in Judah, people will accuse me of favoritism to my own tribe.
Bami abdi aya di Hebron, di Yehuda, jalmi pasti nyangka abdi pilih kasih.
If I go to the north and take an Israelite city,
bami abdi ka kaler teras aya di kota Israel,
my own people in Judah will think I have left them.
Di Yehuda pasti nyangka abdi ninggalkeun maranehna.
So he captured a city.
Jenten ayeuna ngelehkeun hiji kota.
Which had been captured much earlier at the time of Joshua.
Terus dielehkeun ti payun di zaman Yosua.
But had since been controlled again by the Canaanite.
Nukungsi di kawasaan ku urang Kanaan.
It lay on the border of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin.
Nu aya di kapalwates Yehuda sareng suku Binyamin.
It was the city of Jerusalem.
Yete, Yerusalem.
There he made his capital.
Didinya didamel ibu kotana.
And there he put up the tabernacle.
Didinya anjeunna ngadegkeun kemah suci.
And he brought the Ark of the Covenant there.
Sareng nyandak peti perjanjian kadinya.
So people's political loyalties and their religious affections were in the same place.
Kasatean politik sareng pangaruh kaagamaan aya di tempat eta.
David's life was one of great success.
Kehidupan Daud teh sukses nu ageung.
Great blessing.
Berkah ageung.
But also at times of great failure.
Kakapeung kagagalan nu ageung.
Whatever David did, he did in a big way.
Naon wae nu aya dipidamel anjeunna midamel ku cara nu ageung.
There was a time when he got away from God in his heart.
Hiji waktos anjeunna jauh ti Allah.
He fell.
Anjeunna tigebrus.
And he fell hard.
Tigebrus dina pelanggaran nu berat.
But unlike Saul, he repented.
Mung teu saperta Saul anjeunna tobat.
And it was a great repentance.
Ye hiji tobat nu ageung.
Whatever David did, he did with all his heart.
Naon bae dipidamel ku Daud, dipidamel ku sapenuh hate.
And you read about his repentance in Psalm 51.
Saderek maca ngeunaan tobatna dina Zabur 51.
One of the greatest prayers in the Bible.
Salah sahiji doa anu ageung dina Alkitab.
Psalm 51 verse 1.
Zabur 51 ayat 3.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression.
Nun Allah sing hawatos ka abdi demi satia si Gusti pupus dosa abdi demi Gusti teh maha kurnia.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Bersihan segala kejahatan abdi, bersihkan abdi tina dosa.
For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me.
Abdi terumaos repat, kadorakan abdi tansah jadi emutan.
Verse 10.
Ayat 12.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's verse 10.
Ciptakeun di diri abdi hate anu bersih, eusian ku sumanget anyar jiwa satia.
Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Abdi ulah dipiceun di payuneun Gusti, Roh Gusti anu suci ulah nyandak.
David knew what had happened to King Saul, and he was frightened the same thing would happen to him.
Daud terang naun nutos karandapan ku Saul, siun tumiba kanjeuna.
He says in verse 16.
Anjeuna nyaros dina ayat 18.
You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering.
Gusti teu hoyong kurban pencitan atanapi kurban beuleuman.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O these, O God, you will not despise.
Abdi ngorbankeun hate nu pinuh ku karumasaan, Gusti tangtos moal nolak hate ku rumasa sareng tobat.
David understood the spiritual principles that lay behind the ceremonies of the Old Testament.
Daud ngartos prinsip rohani anu aya di sapengkeureunana upacara perjanjian lawas.
David did not just know the law, he knew the heart of God that was behind it.
Daud teu ngantrang hukum tapi terang hate Allah.
And God did forgive him.
Sarta Allah ngampura.
The consequences of what he had done stayed with him.
Akibatna tina padamelan bakal katampi.
David had put himself in a position where there were results from his bad actions.
Nempatkeun dina dirina kaayaan anu aya akibatna.
He could not undo what he had done.
Anjeunna teu tiasa ngaleupaskeun diri.
But he had to go on knowing the forgiveness of God.
Mung anjeunna kedah teras maju ngartos aya panghampura Allah.
As you have seen, we're now in the book of Psalms.
Saperta nu katingali ayeuna urang aya dina kitab Jabur.
And this is a poem.
Ieu teh hiji puisi.
And so we need to look a bit at Hebrew poetry.
Urang kedah ningali sakedik dina puisi Ibrani.
The Hebrew poetry is not only in the book of Psalms.
Puisi Ibrani tengan aya dina kitab Jabur.
It's in Proverbs.
Ieu dina Amsal.
Nearly the whole of the book of Job.
Dina kitab Ayub.
And most of what the prophets wrote is also in poetry.
Heur nu diserat ku nabi-nabi dina rupi puisi.
These are songs of praise.
Aya lalaguan pujian.
Celebrations of holy days.
Merayakeun dinten-dinten nu disucikeun.
Prayers for help.
Doa-doa mundut pitulung.
Prophecies about Christ who was to come.
Nubuatan Kristus nu bakal sumping.
Expressions of grief at times of difficulty.
Ungkapan kasedih di waktu kasusah.
Let me give you just a few keys to understanding Hebrew poetry.
Idinkeun abdi masihan sakedik kana kangge ngartos puisi Ibrani.
Look for three things.
Pilarian, tilu hal.
The first,
hiji,
parallelism.
Nu sami.
Ideas that run in parallel.
Pamikiran nu sami.
Second, figurative speech.
Kadua, gambaran.
And third, emotional expression.
Nu katilu, ungkapan nafsu.
Now, let's look at parallelism.
Kurang ningali nu sami.
Please open your Bible at Psalm 19.
Buka Jabur 18.
Psalm 19.
Jabur 18.
Look at verse 1.
Tingali ayat 2.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Pengrasna langit nyebrekeun kamulyan Allah cekas eta teh. Nembongkeun karya mantena.
That verse is divided into two sentences which parallel each other.
Ayat ieu dibagi dua nu sami.
The heavens.
Langit.
The firmament.
Cakrawala.
Declare.
Nyeruskeun.
Show.
Ngawartakeun.
The glory of God.
Kamulyan Allah.
His handiwork.
Panamelan pananganana.
You see, it parallels.
Ningali nu sami.
We call this a synonymous parallel.
Urang nyebatna nu sami teh sinonim.
Because it says the same thing twice in different words.
Ieu nyebatkeun hal nu sami dua kali dina cariosan anu benten.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
Langit nyareoseun kamulyan Allah.
And the firmament shows his handiwork.
Cakrawala nyareoseun padamelan pananganana.
Look at verse 2.
Tingali ayat 3.
Day unto day, utter speech. Night unto night, reveals knowledge.
Poe ieu nepikeun hal eta. Poe isuk peuting ayeuna nyaritakeun hal eta nu peuting kangke.
Day unto day is parallel by night unto night.
Dinten ka dinten sami sareng wengi ka wengi.
Utter speech is paralleled by reveals knowledge.
Neraskeun warta sami sareng ngadugikeun pangarti.
Look at verse 7.
Tingali ayat 8.
If you've got your Bible, you think of what the parallel is.
Upami saderek aya Alkitab, emutan mana nusami.
For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Soret pangeran teh sampurna matak nyegerkeun jiwa.
What is parallel to the law of the Lord?
Naon usami sareng toret pangeran?
Can you see it there?
Na tiasa saderek mendak?
The testimony of the Lord.
Aturan pangeran?
The law of the Lord is perfect. What's parallel to perfect?
Toret pangeran teh sampurna naon anu sami sareng sampurna?
Sure.
Tigin.
The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Toret pangeran teh sampurna aturanana.
And what's the result of this?
Naon hasilna?
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Toret pangeran sampurna matak nyegerkeun jiwa.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Aturan pangeran teh tigin.
What does it do?
Naon nu pidamelna?
Making wise the simple.
Mesian hikmat ka jalma nu tegaduh pangalaman.
Do you see there's a parallel there?
Nah, saderek ningali nu sami.
That's synonymous parallelism.
Ieu teh hiji nu sami.
We don't have time for it now.
Tetekap waktosna kanggo ngabahas ayeuna.
If you looked at Psalm 114, you would see a lot of it there.
Upami saderek ningali Jabur 114, saderek baris ningali.
We can look at just a little bit of it perhaps.
Kurangan tiasa ningali sakedik pengenten.
When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language.
Urang Israel budal ti Mesir turunan Yakub ti bangsa asing.
Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion.
Yuda dijadikan umat sucina, Israel dijadikan milik kegunaan.
The sea saw it and fled, Jordan turned back.
Laut beureum tuluy ngeda, ngejat walungan Yordan ngocorna eureun.
And so it goes on through the whole of that psalm.
Itu saterasna sadaya jabur eta.
This paralleling of ideas.
Gagasan anu sami ieu
is an important part of Hebrew poetry.
Itu bagian penting di puisi Ibrani.
Now sometimes
cakapeung
the second line goes a little bit further than the first one.
Baris kedua sakedik neraskeun tibatan nu kahiji.
There is a part of repetition and then it brings in something new.
Itu sebagian malikan ieu nyandak ka hal nu anyar.
And sometimes we call this synthetic parallelism.
Sakapeung urang nyebatna persamaan nu tiruan.
Example Amos chapter 1 verse 7.
Amos pasal 1 ayat 7.
And I will send fire on the wall of Gaza and it will devour her palaces.
Kutakuda Gaza ku kami arek diduruk jeung bentengna.
You see, I will send fire on the wall of Gaza is one thing.
Arek ninga kutakuta Gaza ku kami arek diduruk.
But it will devour tells us the result of the fire. It goes further.
Bentengna ieu teh terusanana.
The palaces, of course, are parallel to the wall.
Benteng-benteng, tangtos sami wae sareng kuta.
Sometimes it just climaxes and completes the whole idea.
Sakapeung ieu ngan klimaks sareng ngalengkepan sadaya gagasan.
You will find that same kind of thing in Psalm 2.
Tererek baris mendakkan hal nu sami di nu Jabur 2.
There you've got a series of parallels and suddenly there's a climax.
Jadinya saderek hiji seri ti nu sami sareng ujug-ujug aya hiji klimaks.
As we read it, follow the parallels.
Waktu seorang macana anu sarami nuturkeun.
Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?
Naon sababna bangsa-bangsa rek berontak, kunaon nyieun rarancang nu teu guna?
The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Rajana sareng para pangerehna sakait rek ngalawan pangeran. Ujung nu diurapanana.
First it was a parallel, then something was added to complete the thought.
Hiji didinya aya nu sami lajeng hiji hal ditambahkeun ngalangkungan pikiran eta.
There are more parallels.
Teras aya deui nu sarami.
Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.
Hayu urang ngabebaskeun maneh tina kawasana urang piceun belengguna.
Then another parallel.
Nu sami sanesna.
He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision.
Ditahta di sawarga, pangeran gumujeng, pepetan maranehna nu sapiratun.
Another synonymous parallel.
Sinonim nu sanesna.
Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure.
Itu mantena nyentak wera kamaranehanana ngarencotkeun maranehanana ku amarana.
Then suddenly there's not a parallel.
Ujug-ujug teu aya nu sami.
There's a whole new statement.
Aya cariosan anyar anu lengkap.
Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion.
Kami geus ngangkat hiji raja di Sion, gunung suci kami.
Now, another kind of parallel is that of antithetic parallelism.
Jenis nu sami sanesna teh nu sami bentena sinonim.
If synonymous parallelism emphasizes the truth by repetition,
upami sinonim nekenkeun babeneran kumalikan,
antithetic parallelism emphasizes the truth through contrast.
Nu sami bentena nekenkeun babeneran ngalangkungan bentena.
Proverbs chapter 12.
Siloka 12.
Verse 1.
Ayat 1.
Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid.
Jalma boga pangarti dibejaan salah teh atoh nu geujul nu embung dibenerkeun mah.
Everything in the first line is contrasted with something else in the second line.
Sagala hal dina baris kahiji benten sareng hal nu sanesna dina baris kadua.
Look at that verse.
Tingali dina ayat eta.
Whoever loves instruction.
Jalmi boga pangarti mah.
What is the opposite?
Naon lawana?
He who hates correction.
Nganu gejul.
The first one loves knowledge.
Dibejaan salahna teh atoh.
What's the opposite?
Naon lawana?
He is stupid.
Mung di bebener.
So, look at another example.
Tingali nu contoh nu sanes.
The next verse, verse 2.
Ayat salajengna ayat 2.
A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn.
Pangeran misuka jalma bener ari jalma gejul kumantenna dihukum.
The first half, a good man.
Bagian mimiti jalma bener.
What's the opposite?
Naon lawana?
A man of wicked intentions.
Jalma gejul kumantenna dihukum.
What about the good man?
Kumari jalma bener.
He obtains favor from the Lord.
Pangeran misuka.
What's the opposite?
Naon lawana?
About the bad man?
Nyunaan jalmi jahat.
He will be condemned by God.
Kumantenna dihukum.
And so you could go on.
Takitu saderek tiasa neraskeun.
Verse 5.
Ayat 5.
The thoughts of the righteous are right.
Jalma jujur resep terus terang.
Look in your Bible at verse 5.
Tingali dina Alkitab dina ayat 5.
What's the opposite?
Naon lawana?
The counsels of the wicked are deceitful.
Ari tukang cidrama ngan arek nipu.
There's one idea, but it's emphasized by showing opposite sides.
Ieu teh hiji pamikiran. Mung ieu ditekenkeun ku numongkeun sisi nu benten.
Verse 18.
Ayat 18.
There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health.
Omongan nu teu dipikir heula, lir pedang nojos jero raheutna, omongan make akal budi mah jadi tambah.
So, there you've got some of these parallelisms.
Didinya ngagaduhan sababaraha nu sami.
Now let's look at some of the figurative speech.
Hayu urang ningali sababaraha gambaran.
Psalm 2.
Jabur 2.
We were there just a few moments ago.
Urang aya di dinya kamari ieu.
Let's have a look again.
Urang ningali deui.
But let's look for something different.
Tapi urang ningali bentena.
Verse 3.
Ayat 3.
This is what the wicked kings of the earth are saying to God.
Ieu teh ku raja-raja dunya jahat dicarioskeun ka Allah.
Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.
Hayu urang bebaskeun manehna tina kawasana urang piceun belengguna.
In other words, the kings of the earth, the rulers of the world.
Nu artina raja-raja dunya teh pangawasa dunya.
Are saying, why should we be limited in what we do by God?
Nujunya reuskeun nahanaon anu dipidamel ku urang kedah diwatesan ku Allah.
God's law says this is right, this is wrong.
Hukum Allah nyarioskeun yen ieu leres, ieu salah.
But we are going to be gods.
Mung urang baris janten Allah-Allah.
We will decide what we will do.
Urang baris nangtukeun naon anu bade dipidamel.
We will break the law of God.
Urang baris ngalanggar hukum Allah.
You see, God intended his law as a guideline to help people.
Hukum Allah teh maksudna padoman kanggo nulungan manusia.
But these people just thought it was a limitation.
Jalmi-jalmi ieu emutanana mung hiji wates.
They said it is like a cord, like a bond.
Nyarioskeun ieu teh sapertos hiji beungkeutan.
And we will break it.
Urang baris ngarempak.
It's figurative speech describing an attitude.
Gambaran ngajelaskeun hiji sifat.
And then verse 4 describes the power of God.
Lajeng ayat 4 ngajelaskeun kawasa Allah.
He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision.
Pangeran kumujeng di tatana pepetan maraneh disapirakeun.
God is saying, do you really think you can overthrow my power?
Allah nuju nyareoskeun saderek tiasa ngaragrageun kuasa Allah.
It doesn't mean that God is sitting in a particular position physically.
Yesana sartosna Allah nuju linggih dina hiji posisi secara jasmani.
If you're sitting down, you're not threatened.
Upami saderek nuju calik, saderek teu aya nanaon.
If someone threatens you, you stand up.
Upami anu ngancam, saderek ngadeg.
So God does not feel threatened by these kings. He's still sitting down.
Janten Allah ngaraos ka ancaman ku raja-raja, mantena tetep linggih.
He says, these people are not bothering me at all.
Mantena ngadawuh kami teu kaganggu.
I'll still do what's right.
Kami tetep ngadamel nu bener.
Look at Psalm 23.
Jabur 23.
A beautiful psalm.
Hiji jabur nu endah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Pangeran teh Gusti pangangon. Abdi moal kakirangan.
That is figurative speech.
Yeta gambaran.
David was a shepherd.
Daud teh saurang pangangon.
He loved his sheep and cared for them.
Anjeunna nyaheun ka domba-domba sareng maperhatikeunana.
David says, God looks after me better than I looked after my sheep.
Daud nyareoskeun pangeran ngajaga abdi langkung sae tibatan abdi ngajaga domba.
So he says, the Lord is my shepherd.
Anjeunna nyareoskeun yen pangeran teh Gusti pangangon.
So remember when you come to this poetry in the Old Testament.
Sing emut waktu saderek terang puisi dina perjanjian lawas.
That it is using language in a special way.
Ieu ngagunakeun bahasa nu khusus.
It's not literal language.
Ieu sanes basa harafiah.
We are not little creatures with four legs covered with wool.
Urang sanes makhluk alit nu opat sukuna ditutupan ku bulu wol.
And God is not a man who walks around just looking after these animals.
Allah sanes manusia anu mapah ngajaga sato-satona.
But our relationship with God and His with us is like a shepherd and His sheep.
Menghubungan urang sareng Allah, Allah sareng urang teh, saperto saurang pangangon sareng domana.
God is everywhere present.
Allah aya di mana-mana.
We know that.
Urang terang.
Psalm 139.
Jabur 139.
David says God is everywhere.
Daud nyareoskeun pangeran aya di mana-mana.
But he also said in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.
Anjeunna geus nyareoskeun dina Jabur 110. Pangeran ngadawuh kieu ka raja-raja Gusti kaula, geurat calik dikatuhun kami nepi ka musuh-musuh hidep ku kami dijieun titincakan hidep.
Again, the footstool is just an expression meaning total subjection.
Titincakan ieu ngan ungkapan anu hartosna nyerah total.
Isaiah chapter 40.
Isaia 40
verse 22, excuse me.
Ayat 22
says God stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in.
Nyareoskeun yen Allah ngabebenerkeun langit sapertos layar, dibeberkeun lir kemah keur tempat cicing.
Verse 12.
Ayat 12.
Isaiah 40 verse 12.
Isaia 40 ayat 12.
Let's take it just one sentence at a time.
Hayu urang nyandak hiji kalimat.
God has measured the waters of the sea in the hollow of His hand.
Allah naker cai laut ku dampal pananganna.
And then He has measured the heavens with a span.
Lajeng mantenna ngukur langit di jengkalan.
And calculated the dust of the earth in a measure.
Ulak taneuh ku kulakan.
He has weighed the mountains in scales.
Mantenna nimbang gunung dina taraju.
And the hills in a balance.
Atawa gunung kutimbangan.
Verse 15.
Ayat 15.
Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket.
Ipayunun pangeran bangsa-bangsa kaya hartina ibarat cai satetes.
They are counted as the small dust on the scales.
Pulau-pulau hampang nalir lebu sakeprul.
That's how God regards the power of the nation.
Kita kumaha Allah nembongkeun kana kawasa bangsa-bangsa.
What it is it gives us very strong word pictures.
Naon ieu masihan urang gambaran anu kuat pisan.
It's not meant to be literal.
Yesanes harti harfiah.
Another characteristic of Hebrew poetry is strong emotional expression.
Ciri sanes ti puisi Ibrani teh ungkapan nafsu nu kuat.
There were times when David and the others were in terrible situations.
Aya waktos di mana Daud sareng nu sanesna dina kaayaan anu ruwet.
Their enemies had been very cruel to them.
Musuh-musuh aranjeuna tos janten jahat ka aranjeuna.
And they cry out to God.
Anjeuna ngagorowok ka Allah.
And at times that cry seems very extreme.
Kadang gorowokan eta sajigana keukeuh pisan.
But it's not intended to teach a theology at that point.
Mung ieu teu ngajarkeun teologi ngeunaan hal eta.
It's poetry.
Ieu teh puisi.
It's saying to us, this is how people feel when you put them in that position.
Kumaha aranjeunna ngaraos waktu saderek nempatkeun dina kaayaan kitu.
They cry out for an answer, and sometimes there doesn't seem to be an answer.
Aranjeunna ngagorowok pikeun hiji waleran anu sakapeung jiga teu aya waleran.
And you see that cry for justice.
Saderek ningali ajakan mundut kaadilan.
So you have to remember that emotional element when you read the Psalms.
Saderek kada emut, faktor nafsu eta waktu saderek maca Jabur.
There are also prophecies in the Psalms.
Oh, aya nubuatan-nubuatan dina Jabur.
Psalm 22.
Jabur 22.
Verse 1.
Ayat 1.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Nun Allah Gusti abdi, kunaon ngantunkeun?
Is that familiar?
Pan ieu teh urang apa?
Jesus used those words on the cross.
Yesus nganggo cariosan ieu nuju di salib.
He was quoting from the Old Testament.
Anjeunna nurutan dina Perjanjian Lawas.
Psalm 22.
Jabur 22.
Written by his ancestor David 1,000 years before.
Diserat ku karuhuna Daud 1,000 tahun sateuacana.
David lived about 1,000 years before Christ.
Daud hirup kinten-kinten 1,000 tahun sateuacana Kristus.
Now, look at verse 16.
Tingali ayat 17.
For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet.
Abdi darubungku gerombolan jalma jahat maranehna lir gerombolan anjing, ngaronom, ngarweg, leungeun dan suku abdi.
The hands and feet of David were never pierced.
Panangan sareng sampean Daud can pernah ditubles.
He died in his bed as an old man giving the kingdom to his son Solomon.
Anjeuna maot diranjang lantaran tos sepuh karajanana dipasihkeun ka Sulaiman.
But David was a prophet as well as a poet.
Daud saurang nabi sareng saurang penyair.
God spoke through David.
Allah ngadawu ngalangkungan Daud.
And one day God himself came down and took human form.
Hiji dinten Allah lungsur ka dunya mangrupikeun manusa.
And on the cross it happened.
Dina salib kajantenanana.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
Maranena nubles leungeun jeung suku kami.
Verse 18.
Ayat 18.
They divide my garments among them and for my clothing they cast lots.
Pepakaian kami dilotrekeun tuluy dibagi-bagikeun.
A 1,000 years after David wrote that.
1,000 tahun saparantos Daud nyerat eta.
When Jesus was on the cross,
waktu Yesus di kayu salib,
the Roman soldiers took his clothes.
Tentara-tentara Romawi nyandak anggwanana.
4 men in an execution squad.
4 orang dina pasukan algojo.
There was 1 piece for each soldier.
4 potong kanggo unggal tentara.
And then there was a 5th item.
Lajeng aya barang kalima.
The inner robe of Christ.
Jubah dina Kristus.
Made out of 1 piece of cloth.
Didamel tina lawon.
And so who was going to have it?
Anu baris ngapi milikna?
So they cast lots to see who would have it.
Maranehanana lotrek kanggo ningali saha nu ngengkeunana.
It was a poem, but 1,000 years later, it happened. It was a prophecy.
Anjeunna teh hiji puisi nu 1,000 taun saparantos kajantenan.
Now David was followed on the throne by his son Solomon.
Ina Daud ngagentoskeun putrana Sulaiman.
David had been a man of war.
Daud resep perang.
Solomon was a man of peace.
Sulaiman mah resep tentrem.
And God gave Solomon wisdom.
Allah masihan Sulaiman hikmat.
In fact, when Solomon came to the throne, God said, "What do you want?" And Solomon said, "I want wisdom."
Sulaiman naik tahta, Allah ngadawuh naon nu dupi ka yang kumane? Hikmat.
What kind of wisdom?
Hikmat nu kumaha?
Well, first of all, wisdom in judging hard cases.
Kaya sadaya hikmat dina mutuskeun perkara-perkara nu ruwet.
1 Kings chapter 3.
Hiji raja-raja tilu.
Verse
28. Ayat 28.
And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice.
Putusan aranjeunna kitu kagurnita ka urang Israel atuh maranehanna kacida ajrina karajana. Geus nyarahun ayeuna rajana ku Allah dipaparin kapinteran enggoning mutuskeun perkara kalawan adilna.
Solomon had wisdom in a second area.
Sulaiman ngagaduhan hikmat dina bidang kedua.
In 1 Kings chapter 5.
Hiji raja-raja 5.
Verse 12.
Ayat 12.
So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together.
Pangeran ngalaksanakeun janjina ka Sulaiman, maparin kapinteran Hiram jeung Sulaiman nepi ka sosobatan.
So, Solomon asked God for wisdom to rule, and God gave it to him.
Sulaiman mundut hikmat kanggo marentah sarta Allah masihan eta.
In two areas.
Dina dua bidang.
First, within his among his own people.
Kaiji di antawisna rahayatna nyelira.
To administer justice.
Kanggo ngalaksanakeun keadilan.
Second, in international relations.
Kedua, dina hubungan internasional.
This man Hiram was king of Tyre, which was a nearby state.
Hiram teh raja Tirus nu nyaketan kerajaan Sulaiman.
Solomon built a whole chain of fortresses to defend the country in strategic places.
Sulaiman ngadegen benteng-benteng di tempat anu strategi kanggo mempertahankeun nagarana.
He also built a temple for God.
Anjeunna oge ngadegen bait Allah.
So that the tabernacle, which was a tent, now became a permanent building.
Janten kemah suci nu tadina tenda, ayeuna janten ngawangun permanen.
The plan of the temple was the same as the plan for the tabernacle.
Rarancang bait Allah sami sapertos rarancangan kemah suci.
But it was a stone building instead of being a cloth tent.
Didamel tina batu, ngagentos tina kain.
When Solomon dedicated it to God, the Spirit of God came down in a wonderful way in that temple.
Waktu Sulaiman nyarioskeun ka Allah, Roh Allah lungsur ku cara kaluar biasa di bait Allah.
He also built himself a great palace.
Anjeunna ngabangun salira anu ageung kanggo dirina nyalira.
In fact, the story of Solomon.
Carita Sulaiman tungtungna pika sedihun.
Ends rather sadly.
Rasa pika sedihun.
He was so successful.
Anjeunna sakitu suksesna.
Not only in justice.
Taneskan dina kaadilan.
Not only in politics.
Taneskan dina politik.
But he became so rich.
Anjeunna oge sakitu beungharna.
That he started to break God's law.
Meureun eta anjeunna ngawitan ngarempak hukum Allah.
Especially he started to marry pagan women.
Terutama anjeunna ngawitan nikah sareng istri-istri nu nyembah berhala.
God had told the kings they were not to have many wives, multiply wives.
Allah tos ngadawuh yen raja-raja tong gaduh istri seueur. Nambihan istri-istri kanggo anjeunna.
But the other kings of the other nations did it. Solomon wanted to do it too.
Mung raja-raja sanes ngalakukeun Sulaiman oge nurutan.
These women were not being converted like Ruth or Rahab.
Istri-istri ieu teu tobat sapertos Ruth sareng Rahab.
They brought their idols with them.
Aranjeunna nyembah berhala.
Solomon built little shrines for these idols.
Sulaiman ngadegen tempat kanggo berhala-berhala.
And joined these women in their pagan worship.
Nurutan istri-istri ieu nyembah berhala.
God appeared to Solomon.
Halane mongkeun diri ka Sulaiman.
If you do this, I'll take away the kingdom.
Lamun mane megawe eta kami arek mawa kerajaan ieu.
But Solomon was too big in his own eyes.
Mung Sulaiman ngaraos dirina hebat.
He did not repent when God spoke to him.
Anjeunna teu tobat waktos Allah ngadawuh ka anjeunna.
After his death,
sapertos mautna,
the kingdom was just torn apart.
Kerajaan eta hancur janten dua.
Well, you see, what Solomon wanted more than anything else was to establish a long dynasty of kings.
Saderek terang, Sulaiman hoyong ngalangkuan ti raja-raja sanes nyaeta ngalestarikeun dinasti raja.
To have his son and his grandson and his great-grandson as great kings.
Putrana sareng incuna sareng buyutna baris canten raja-raja agung.
With the kingdom getting bigger and bigger.
Ku kerajaan anu lega sareng langkung lega.
But in fact the opposite happened.
Mungpakana anu sabalikna kajantenan.
The kingdom was split.
Kerajaan eta pecah.
And it became weaker and weaker.
Janten lemah malah langkung lemah.
And other great powers invaded it.
Kakiatan ageung sanesna ngawasaanana.
And took away spoil and loot with them.
Nyanak barang rampasan sareng jarahan sasarengan.
Isn't it a sad thing that Solomon, who is associated with wisdom, was also so foolish?
Sanes hal nu pikasedihkeun yen Sulaiman anu dikaitkeun sareng hikmat jadi nu bodo.
But from his good years, Solomon left us some wise expressions.
Mun dina taun haena, Sulaiman ninggalkeun sabaraha ungkapan anu wijaksana.
And some of them are in the book of Proverbs.
Sabaraha di antarana aya dina kitab Siroka.
Now, it wasn't only Solomon who wrote in the book of Proverbs.
Geus kan Sulaiman anu nyerat dina kitab Siroka.
There were other writers too.
Aya oge penulis-penulis nu sanesna.
And we even find some similar proverbs in other nations like Egypt.
Malah mendakan Siroka-Siroka nu sami di bangsa sanes seperti Mesir.
Some of them were just well-known international sayings.
Beberapa di antawisna kasohor janten paribahasa internasional.
But the very best of this is in the word of God.
Mung nu pangsaena aya dina dawuhan Allah.
In other words, it was a literary form which was understood and which we have within the Word of God.
Segedik dihadean kunu kahartos, sarta urang ngagaduhan dina dawuhan Allah.
For example,
upamana,
Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27.
Ciroka 26, ayat 17.
He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears.
Jalma nu sok pipiluun kana pacengkat dan ulain urusan sorangan ibarat ngejamret celi anjing anu pareng liwat.
Sometimes these proverbs are quite funny.
Sakapeung siloka teh rada lucu.
But there's nothing funny about Proverbs 20 verse 20.
Tapi teu aya anu lucu dina siloka 20 ayat 20.
Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness.
Nunyumpan ka kolot hirupna bakal ngeusan lir pelita nu pes pareum dina poe.
11 verse 1.
Siroka 11 ayat 1.
Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight.
Pangeran mikangewa kanu make timbangan curang, mantena misuka kanu timbangan bener.
So, we have poetry and we have wisdom.
Janten urang gaduh puisi sareng urang gaduh hikmat.
In our next session we're going to look at a little more of the wisdom literature.
Dina sesi salajengna urang bakal ningali ngeunaan literatur hikmat.
And then after history of the kings of Israel and Judah.
Salajengna dina sejarah raja-raja Israel sareng Yahuda.
God bless you, we will see you then.
Pangeran ngaberkahan saderek, gerujeng kapendak deui.